Hello and welcome to I Talk to Ghosts, the podcast that is a nightmare dressed as a daydream. I'm your haunted host, Jennifer, a spirit medium and a sharer of ghost stories. Tonight's theme is that of ghostly dream visitations. Is it a dream? Is it a nightmare? Or is it a ghost? Listen and decide for yourself. Then join me for an in-studio spirit reading with my guest of the week. What I love about sharing my medium readings is that you get to see exactly how I work as a medium, what you can expect and what it will feel like talking with me. And I also hope that you get to know me a little bit as well. I also love the fact that we can share all these experiences together, because personally, I think there shouldn't be anything that we go through as a human being that we can't share with another human being. And knowing that we are all out there experiencing our own struggles and hardships and laughter and love just makes us realize that we really are all connected. And how many of these experiences can you relate to and know that others know what you feel? Outside of it being a fantastically spiritual experience, that very real human element is just as important and wondrous. So thank you for sharing your time with me as I share these readings with you. That said, also tonight, join me at my seance table for a message from the spirits. Each week, I like to create the space for a spirit to come close and deliver a message for someone listening to the podcast. And this message could very well be for you tonight. That's later on in the podcast. But first, the spooky. Tuck yourself in. The ghostly nightmares are materializing right now. When I was a little kid, my parents let me stay with my grandparents for a week over the summer. My grandparents lived in a large three-story house, and there was only one bedroom on the first floor. I loved staying with my grandparents, but sometimes the house was a little too silent, and no matter how soft or low, I felt like I noticed every small noise that broke the silence. I would hear unfamiliar footsteps from the room on the first floor. Sometimes they came from my mom's former bedroom, which I had for myself while I stayed there. I asked my grandmother once if she could hear the footsteps. She shook her head and asked me if my mother had told me about this noise, which was odd because she hadn't. My grandmother explained that my mother always used to complain that someone else was in the house, but she herself had never heard or seen anything. 2 days later, I was sleeping in my mom's old bedroom, and I had this nightmare that while I slept on the bed, a tall, dark figure stood over me, just watching me. It had no eyes, but its head was bent towards my direction. It kept looking at me for a long while, but then all of a sudden, it reached out and grabbed my wrist. I was so terrified, I woke up sweating, even though there was plenty of air conditioning in the room. I reached for the light immediately, but as I switched on the lamp, my wrist hurt as if it had been heavily sprained. Gasping from the pain, I looked at my arm. There was a big red mark all around my wrist. I didn't even bother switching the light off. I just ran to my grandmother's room and crawled up onto her bed. The next morning, my arm was fine. I didn't say anything to my grandparents, but I ensured They were around me all the time, and I slept in their room the rest of the week. Nothing happened again. But when I got back home, I told my mom about it, and she told me the thing only bothers those who pay attention to it. According to her, I wasn't used to so much silence, and that's how it got me. The key to avoid the haunting was to keep your mind busy. The more you had on your mind, the easier you could tune it out, which explained why my grandparents never heard it. They were busy-minded people. I always kept myself busy after that whenever I visited the house. They still live there, and I didn't experience it again. This story was submitted by Jennifer. If you'd like to share your own personal story, email me at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your story. When I started the fourth grade, my parents had a house built way out in the country in Michigan. Fields and fields of farmland had been sold, and contractors began developing them into subdivisions. We lived in the middle of the block in one of these neighborhoods, and there were houses as far as you can see in any direction. My ghost story didn't begin until several years later. When I was about 13, I began having a reoccurring dream. I wasn't an active participant in this dream. It was as if I watched it play out from above. In this dream, I was aware I was looking down upon a great farm. Miles and miles of corn surrounded a somewhat normal-looking farmhouse in the center of a field. A small blonde boy, in overalls, barefooted, would run off the porch of this farmhouse. His mother would be yelling for him to be careful and to come back for supper. There was always a dog barking in the distance. This young boy, maybe between the ages of 5 and 7 years old, would run through the corn looking to find his father, who was plowing the field. The corn was so tall, and the boy was so small. The boy knew where his father was from the sounds of the tractor. However, the father didn't know that the young boy was out in the cornfield. In a flash, there was an accident. In my dream, I would witness the father screaming and crying and holding his boy in his arms. In my dream, the father dug a small grave in the cornfield and buried his son. He continued to tend to the field until it became dusk and ended his day. Returning home, the mother questioned the father of where their son was. The father lied and tells her he hasn't seen him all day. And then I would wake up. I would have this dream weekly, so frequently that I felt like I was going crazy. So one morning, I decided to tell this elaborate and reoccurring story to my own mom. As I told her the details of this horrible dream, she became wide-eyed. She said to me that she had had that very same dream just the night before. Apart from the dream, we didn't notice anything odd at this new home. We had lived there for several years, so I just thought the dream thing was weird. My mother was a nurse and worked nights at the hospital. She would sleep in the morning, get up and iron her uniform for work, make dinner for us, and leave around 8 p.m. Now, as time went on, we did notice things in the autumn months of the year. One day when getting ready to iron her uniform, she walked through our dining room to get the ironing board from the front hall closet. She turned the light on when she walked through. When she returned, the light was off. She flipped the switch again, thinking maybe she was just tired and thought she turned the light on. She set up the ironing board and went to get the iron. Came back, and the light was off again. This time, she said out loud, "Enough with the tricks already. I'm not in the mood." While she stood in the dining room, ironing her uniform, she said she could feel the smallest little tug on her shirt, as if a small child was trying to get her attention. But when she looked down, no one was there. Fast forward to the next autumn. I was 14 and wanted a waterbed badly. My parents agreed, but I wasn't going to be able to put it upstairs where my bedroom was. If I was going to have a waterbed, my room would need to be in the basement. I was okay with this. The basement wasn't scary. We had just built this house so it was open and clean. So, I moved my room and got my waterbed. That same year, we adopted a puppy, and I would bring him downstairs to be with me to play and hang out. One day, while cleaning my room, she started to growl, then bark, and then a deep, angry growl. I turned to look at her, and she was staring at the basement wall. Her fur was standing on end, and she was crouching really low, like she was definitely afraid of whatever was there. I called her name, and she finally stopped and came over to where I was. The next year, we adopted a cat. One autumn day, I was 15 in high school, and I always had a ton of homework. I was sitting at the desk with the desk lamp on, and as the hours went on, it became dark in the house. The room I was in was beside the main entry, and our staircase was behind me. As I was working, I began to hear my cat growling and hissing, as if the dog was bothering him. I didn't think anything of this, but as it continued, I decided to turn around and tell them to knock it off already. I gasped. As soon as I turned around, I could clearly see a little boy in overalls sitting on our stairs. He had his elbows on his knees and his chin in his hands, watching me. The cat was not hissing at the dog. He was hissing at the boy. I turned around scared out of my mind. I was shaking. I sat there for what seemed to be an eternity until I could hear my parents and brother come home, turning lights on as they walked through. I was relieved, but still almost sick from the shock of it. I jumped up and had to tell my parents what happened. My mother, who had experiences, was very comforting. My father, he was the doubtful one. He would often dismiss us and say, "You're just making this up." One night, while on shift at the hospital, my mother met a lady and they sat and had coffee. Since it was almost Halloween, they began to exchange ghost stories. My mother began to tell this lady all the things that happened in our home. She patted my mom's hand and said, "I know who that little boy is. He visits all the homes in that area looking for his family." Bingo. It all made sense. The little boy we dreamt about was the little boy trying to find his family. This lady said that he only makes contact with people who are sensitive. I've always wanted to do some research to see if I could find that young boy and to find out his name. While traveling for work, a coworker and I had a literal nightmare of an experience. We had reached our destination late in the evening, checked into our hotel, and then headed out to find some much-needed dinner. It wasn't until midnight when I returned to my room to settle in and sleep. About a half hour later, I heard what I can only describe as a depressed moan.
It wasn't incredibly loud, but I could distinctly hear it. I got up and decided to investigate. As soon as I walked towards my room's door, I heard a loud knock forcefully banging on my door. I jumped. It's shocking to not expect something like that right as you were looking in that direction. I hesitated, but I opened my hotel room's door. The hallway was empty. I turned back to inside my room, and as I locked my door, I felt a light, cold draft of air on my neck. And there was a sudden strange smell in my room. The next morning, I met my coworker for breakfast. While eating, he asked me whether I had noticed anything weird last night. I wasn't in the mental space to acknowledge what I had experienced, so I told him I had had an uneventful evening. He said that someone had knocked on his door the previous night, and when he had looked out, he had found nothing. But as soon as he closed the door and turned back, he found the windows wide open, which had been locked earlier, and said that despite turning off the air conditioning, he had spent the whole night shivering cold. He also said that he was not feeling well today. The rest of the day was filled with work tasks, and I returned to my hotel room at 9 p.m. I decided to get to bed early since I had not slept well the previous night. While asleep, I had a terrible nightmare. In this dream, I saw a funeral procession. There was a deceased man being carried in an open coffin, covered in a sheer white cloth and surrounded by white roses. I couldn't see the dead man's face. The mourners around him had expressions contorted in anguish and grief, but there was no sound. No talking, no crying, just silence. I woke up completely disturbed, drenched in sweat. I was horrified, and I couldn't shake this feeling of extreme dread. What was wrong with this hotel room? I looked at the clock, and it happened to be 12:30, the same exact time I had heard the moan and the knock at the door the night before. I had had enough. I tried to change rooms, but the hotel had no vacancy. So I spent the night sleeping on my room's couch with the television on, as well as the lights. I had slept for about 3 hours when my phone rang. It was my coworker, sounding rather scared, and asked if I could come to his room. I agreed, and indeed, when he opened his door, he was pale and wide-eyed. He explained that he had gotten up to go to the bathroom, and when he returned to his bed, there was a man lying in it with his back to him. He immediately demanded to know who he was and why he was in his room, and the figure simply dissolved into thin air like a mist. We checked out of the hotel as early as we could and booked new rooms about 5 miles away. The rest of the work trip was thankfully uneventful. No more strange knocks, visitations, or nightmares.
Hello, my dear spooky friend. Do you have a paranormal experience you would like to share? Submit your ghost stories to be read on this podcast. I love sharing true ghost stories, and yours could be among them. Email me your story at speaknow@italktoghosts.com. Let's be spooky together. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. My guest this evening is Nancy. Nancy, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for allowing me to have a reading. It's absolutely an honor for me. Absolutely an honor. And I can already tell that I'm just really glad to know you.
I'm glad to know you too. I'm so excited.
So let's jump into this a little bit. I feel like your dad and your mom are coming through for you. And it's like, okay, who wants to speak first? And your dad is like, mom should speak first. And it's like, okay, mom, come forward. What's going on? And the first thing she mentioned to me was she brought up some difficulties and challenges. I don't know if she was acknowledging how she passed. It almost seems like she had a little bit of a, not necessarily an apology for you, but just an acknowledgement of that.
The countdown to her death was interesting. For about 6 months prior to death, I was trying to get her physicians to take her stomach pain seriously. And she had history of right-sided heart failure. I'm a nurse practitioner. So with right-sided heart failure, you get a spongy enlarged liver, but her liver was like rock solid. It was like you could drive a nail through it. And I knew that in the back of my mind that what that meant, which means cancer, but I couldn't get any of her physicians to take me seriously because they just saw me as a nurse or someone who thought she knew what she's talking about, even though
in their mind, kind of self-diagnosing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm a nurse practitioner. I have a graduate degree, so I know what I'm doing, but it was like mansplaining to me, and it just, and at the same time, my mom didn't want me to really push hard on confronting them or pushing them because that was her relationship with them, and she didn't want she didn't want them to take it out on her. I get that. But at the same time, so 6 months forward, she had a slip and fall in the bathroom and conked her head, and she didn't want me to call 911. So we stayed up talking work strategy the whole night, instead of neuro checks. And the next day she let me call 911 and they took her to the hospital. And then in the course of things, the ER doctor agreed with me that she needed to have a CAT scan and stuff like that. So that led to her cancer diagnosis. And they told her, well, you have 3 months or 3 to 6 months to live. And she said, no, I have 3 weeks and I'll be dead in 3 weeks. And she was right. 3 weeks to the day, she's gone. You know, she was on home hospice for 3 weeks. And the first week she was alert and oriented. And the second week she had her eyes closed most of the time, but she could still hear. And then the third week she was in a coma and then she died. And I don't know if that's what she's talking about, that she only, because she felt like she didn't give me a lot of time or my sister a lot of time between diagnosis and death. And she's in my house, literally. She's in a urn. And one of the things I want to ask is that I have scheduled for her ash scattering to happen this summer in Monterey Bay. We're going to go out in a boat, look for dolphins and whales, and scatter her ashes. And I hope she's happy with that, because I know that she wanted to be done at Kauai. But the odds of me getting on a plane anytime soon, since I'm afraid to fly, is not feasible. I figure it's, she died in 2010 and she's been with me this whole time and she never wanted to be stuck in an urn. And so, even though she's flanked by my two cats that she adored, I just feel I need to set her free and, and do it in a way she at least partially wanted it, which was among dolphins and whales.
I think the Monterey Bay is a great idea, and your mom understands. And with your fear of flying, you don't want to add all that emotion into something that you want to make a loving memory of, right? So of course she wants you to be comfortable and not have to travel during that time. And the importance is the heartfelt sentiment in the symbology and what you can do, right? So I think that is what is most important. She's mentioning obviously expressing so much love for you, but she's also acknowledging there was clashing in the past.
Yes.
She realizes that she was on the hard side of things sometimes. And there's definite acknowledgement of that. And I feel like she keeps bringing up a difficult relationship with someone younger, a younger man, a man who is younger than her.
Oh, yes. Her brothers. She has twin brothers.
Are they really emotional? Big emotions?
Yes. There was Bobby, her brother, well, one of the twin brothers, Buddy and Bobby. And she spent more time with Bobby than she did with Buddy. She really wanted Buddy to come and see her before she died and mend their relationship. But he chose his wife over her. It's a long story. But yeah, so, I mean, if that's who she's talking about as her brothers.
I think so.
Then think yes. So.
It's funny. I was going to ask you about angels because the word angel came up.
I do have a lot of guardian angels. And, you know, have saved my life, you know, more than once.
Yeah, I feel like that theme, like the theme of angels, just has significance for you.
I believe in guardian angels, whether they're like the classic angel definition, or they're, you know, loved ones that have passed and now watch out for you.
Yeah, yeah. Someone wanted to bring up talking about grief affecting spirituality. Did you have a period in which your grief, you kind of felt like you were robbed of your spirituality a little bit in that process?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost my way a few times, and that's like, yeah, I mean, if it's in the terms of affecting my ability, my empath abilities, or my connections to the other side, then yes. I don't know. I just miss them. You know, I would rather have them alive than on the other side. But
I think a lot of people can relate to that sentiment. They really can. Yeah.
You know, let's with my dad. I mean, both him and his brother had a really hard time in their life with their parents. Those are the people I didn't want to come through.
And, oh, my gosh. Let's talk just for a second. One of the first things that came in was I sat down to start prepping, opened my notebook, and I crossed my legs, and someone immediately said, "Put your feet down." And I'm like, who is the manners police going on with that? Is that related to your dad's parents? Were they strict people?
Yes, and very negative people, and truly awful.
So with your dad, was he kind of showing me routines? Was he a routine type person? Like everything, like I'm almost seeing like stations in life. Like, okay, I did this and then I do this and then I do this and then I do this. Was he just a routine kind of guy?
Yeah, he was a lawyer. So very analytical.
And your parents, they want to take a minute to acknowledge that your creativity. You consider yourself a creative person? Are you artistic?
I used to be. I mean, I've let that go in the last few years. I was into like needlepoint, and I was getting quite good at it. And then, I just sort of dropped it for grad school, and then I never picked it up again. I still have it, and I still think about doing it. But yeah, so yes and no.
Well, if you ever feel like you're missing that element of play, you know, explore it a little bit, because I do think it doesn't have to necessarily be those things, but connecting and having that kind of creativity, I think would be really beneficial, and you'd be good at it. And don't worry about the final results and or, you know, screwing up. Boy, any craft project is going to be an experiment, right?
Right, but just exactly.
Taking in the attitude of play and expression,
mm-hmm.
I think would be really suiting for you. I saw a pool. Did you have a pool growing up? It seemed like
I did.
It seemed like that the theme of water was definitely important in the sparkling water, and I'm seeing like this. It seemed significant.
I'm more water based. I've always I like blue. Like my favorite color is blue and purples and greens, and I'm more of a water sign, even though I'm a Leo. So, mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite animals on the planet are dolphins and mm-hmm. whales, and they're like my what we call like totem animals. And yeah. So I've always had that affinity for water and creatures in it. So, yeah.
That's wonderful. And it's so good to know yourself too, you know? It's like, yeah, what resonates with you and what you want to pull into your life. And, you know, because we all kind of create the world around us. And sometimes we have to seek it out. But sometimes if it's already there, it starts supporting us as well. And that's always lovely to see. Let's see. You helped take care of your mom.
I did.
During those times. I feel like she was showing me... I almost wondered if she was like at care at home, but you said she was in the hospice.
Well, she was, but then she went home for the last three weeks of her life. She was on hospice at home.
And, okay. Because I was seeing hospital bed at home care.
Yes. Yes. She was in a hospital bed in her room. We took out a regular bed. We put a hospital bed in. We had mm-hmm. my sister paid for 24-hour nursing care beyond the hospice. And, okay. And it was for 3 weeks.
Let me see. Your dad, when he was talking about his health and stuff, he's kind of bringing up his lifestyle a little bit. That his lifestyle was maybe his diet choices or something like that. He's just talking about, my lifestyle was kind of a factor in my health.
Yes. He ate a lot of food and that has a lot of nitrates in it. And that is a contributor to esophageal cancer, what he died of. And maybe gastric cancer. It was a question whether it was both.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
He knows it. I think he says he'd do it again.
Yeah, of course. And then he was also a smoker and that led, mm-hmm. he survived bladder cancer, but that's a. Mm-hmm. A risk factor to bladder cancer is smoking. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have some messages for you from them. And the self-esteem part is certainly a teeny thread that goes through it. It's not like this major thing. But if I can just gently encourage you to, you know, pay attention to how you talk to yourself in your head. And if we're going to be critical, we can also just as easily turn around and be encouraging, you know, but we have to catch ourselves doing it first. And dream of going past your boundaries and your comfort zones is what was written down. Like you're ready to kind of, it's almost like you're looking at out the window and you can see it, but you're not leaving yet. And it's like, come on, you know, just walk past those boundaries. Walk past those boundaries and get out there a little bit. And just with a sense of curiosity and play, and it doesn't have to be some giant big shift. You can just explore little things and change your mind if you want to, but to kind of support yourself in that moving forward process. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with me today.
Thank you.
Sound like such a lovely, the sparkling water and the artistic energy. I think that you're just a lovely, lovely person to know.
Well, thank you.
Oh, before we go, do you have a quick ghost story for me?
I have a lot of ghost stories.
listener ghost story.
I had driven up to Monterey to drop off some donated medicine for a friend of mine who's another nurse practitioner that I went to school with. She was running a clinic in Guatemala. And on the way, I took the coast highway like an idiot, and it fogged in, like to the point where I couldn't see anything in front of me. I was really scared because I was on, you know, this is a section of Big Sur where on one side is death and the other side is, you know, the road. And I was creeping down and I was just like freaking out because I couldn't even see anywhere to pull off because it was that fogged in.
Yeah.
And so I was talking, this is after my dad died and my mom was still alive. She was down waiting for me in LA. And I just said, you know, please, my guardian angels, someone, dad, whatever, help me get through this stretch of road. Because seriously, I had cars coming around me that knew the area and could like instinctively know the curves. And so like, I was like literally creeping and someone came through. I don't know if it was my dad or his brother or quote guardian angel, but they took control over the steering wheel of my 4Runner and started driving it down the coast highway. And I'm like, hands off. And I could feel I could feel hands over my hands. And the car got very cold. And they literally drove the 4Runner down the stretch of the highway until the fog lifted about like San Luis Obispo. And then I was able to drive safely back. But yeah, so, and I think, I'm pretty sure my dad was there and probably Mort, my Uncle Mort, his brother. But there was also someone else there. And I think that's, you know, it was also like, quote, guardian angel. And so there's three spirits in my car. And that, you know, has resonated with me ever since. I mean, you know, I've had other experiences. I've had UFO experiences. I've had a lot of animal ghost experiences. But that was something that was,
wow.
I mean, I'll never forget it.
Yeah, they came through for you. They came through for you. Thank you again.
This
has been great. And thank you for the ghost story. That's amazing.
Would you like a free spirit reading with me and record your reading for the podcast? Sign up for your chance to be selected by visiting italktoghosts.com/guest. And as an added bonus, if you don't want to leave your reading up to chance, I'll let you in on a secret. There's a discount offer to book a private session with me, so you can book a date and time for certain. Visit italktoghosts.com/guest for more details. Hello and welcome back to I Talk to Ghosts. I have a message from the spirits this evening. So thank you for joining me in the candlelight. Tonight, as I call a spirit close, I'm going to be working with the herb agrimony. Agrimony has long been used as a protective herb, a blessing herb, as well as it helps repel negative energy and promote good sleep. So I thought, since we're doing an episode on nightmares, why not introduce you to an herb that can very well help protect you while you sleep? It's said to be a very powerful herb that not only repels negative energy and ill intent, but it also flings it back at the source that it came from. Agrimony is also used in dream pillows, in little satchels under the pillow to help promote protected, lovely sleep. But they also say that if you put agrimony under your pillow, you won't wake up unless someone removes it. Some people think that's a good thing. That to me does not sound like the most ideal situation. So you might just want to keep it close to you on your nightstand or something like that while you sleep. You probably know me by now.
I like to ground and center, quiet, call a spirit close into my space. Tonight I have with me someone's neighbor. When you knew her, it was only in passing. She was always coming and going. She was very dedicated to her job. It feels like she was in the caregiving industry of some kind. Nurse, retirement home assistant, something along those lines. Everyone in the neighborhood marveled at her energy and how she was always on the go and juggling multiple things and just an endless source for care and action when needed. It feels like she was a neighbor in your childhood home and you didn't really interact with her a lot. It's more like you heard about her in passing or you saw her driving by, getting in and out of her car, that sort of thing. And you might think, how are we connected? But in truth, we're all connected. She's going to take this opportunity to reach out to you. It feels like currently you have a lot of stuff going on and you're a passionate person and you have a lot of your own drive and you let people influence you just because you are so passionate. And she's saying that it would be good for you to pay attention and to use a little bit of discretion that you are not used to in life because you tend to just feel everything and share everything. And right now she sees that as causing more harm for you than good. As I ask her for more details on this, she's actually saying, I want to protect his privacy with this. So she's even using a little bit of discretion. I think that's funny. Gosh, yeah, she's just saying, be careful, don't share everything. Everything about this message is not normal for me. This isn't someone who was truly, truly connected to you. There's a bit of a cautionary tale in this one, and I tend to steer away from anything that might be a little fear-based. So I hope you can forgive me with this one. And if this connects for you, I think you'll understand. The other interesting thing is, because I'm working with agrimony tonight, that is a very protective herb. And it feels like there is a lot of cautionary warning and protection for you in this. And she's taking the opportunity to get you this message. So yeah, perhaps take a step back a little bit and evaluate how you are interacting with people in your life right now. And is some discretion perhaps prudent? I think I'm going to leave it at that. If this message finds you, I hope it finds you well. And feel free to reach out if it does connect for you, because I would love to talk to you further. Okay. Thank you. And with that, dear listener, we've reached the end of this episode of I Talk to Ghosts. I hope you've enjoyed my spirit work that I shared with you this evening, as well as those spooky, scary nightmare tales that I shared with you. Have you ever had a ghostly visit in your dreams that was pretty terrifying? I think I want to hear about it. Yes, I want to hear about it, so please reach out. In the meantime, wherever you wander off to, in this world or the next, just remember, come back and visit with me. Have a lovely evening and good night. If you listen to my podcast, you have to be like me. You love listening to spooky stories. I'm excited to say that Audible is a sponsor of this podcast. Audible's storytelling keeps me company no matter what other task I'm doing. And you know what? Listening can also keep my stress at bay because my mind is being drawn into the stories I'm listening to. Sign up and try it now by visiting audibletrial.com/ghosts. I'll also have a link for you in my episode description notes that you can click on. Happy spooky reading!